episode. Maybe even for Christmas next year, too. Okay, then. It's a date. And, by the way, if you are a first-time listener, please be aware, you are not alone. Your night. numerous battles of the war, there had been thousands of American soldiers who were captured by the enemy. Most of these unlucky men, and they were nearly all men, ended up in camps for prisoners of war. These camps were definitely no fun. They were surrounded with barbed wire as sharp as a razor blade, with armed guards everywhere, and tall towers in every corner that had searchlights and were staffed by Nazi soldiers, often with machine guns or high-powered rifles, with instructions to shoot to kill if they happened to spot anyone trying to escape. In other words, these were not pleasant places to be. A typical camp would be ridden with squalor, overcrowding, infection, disease, bedbugs, fleas, unclean bedding, inadequate medical care, ragged clothing, widespread cruelty and torture, as well as illness and death caused by those horrible conditions. The prisoners in these camps were called POWs, prisoners of war. And these camps, which were commonly known as POW camps, were scattered across Germany and other countries that were then under Nazi control. Every single day in these camps was pretty much identical to every other day. But during the last week or two of December 1944, there was very likely nobody in any of these camps who had the slightest idea that the end of World War II was less than 5 months away. However, one thing they did know was that Christmas was around the corner. So the men in these camps were determined to make the holiday into a ray of light and happiness. In some camps, the prisoners were fortunate enough to receive Christmas packages from relief agencies. The American Red Cross packed and shipped 75,000 parcels in the summer of 1944 in order to arrive in time for Christmas. The packages included canned turkey, fruitcake, and other non-perishable food, as well as tobacco, games, and Christmas decorations. Many years after the war, it was revealed that the games secretly included hidden maps and other items for the assistance of any prisoner who might want to attempt to escape. But that is another story for another time. So, for now, let's return to Christmas 1944. In some POW camps, the prisoners were allowed to have a party. Some were small and quick because the administrators of the camps were fearful of large gatherings of prisoners. In other camps, it was the opposite. The administrators relaxed the rules and permitted the POWs to have a party that was long and almost gigantic. In one camp, the POWs were given freedom to roam throughout the grounds on Christmas Eve and Christmas night. Alcohol was made in several camps by prisoners who knew how to ferment the raisins from the Red Cross packages. Most of the camps had Christmas concerts, and many camps also Unfortunately, since individual camps often held thousands or even tens of thousands of prisoners, only a few hundred of them might actually be able to see the Christmas concert or religious service. In some of the camps, the barracks were given small Christmas trees, which the prisoners decorated with snowflakes cut from tin cans, lint, food labels, and nails. Festive dinners were served in many barracks, with every mouthful savored. Some of these details, as well as menus, cards, and programs, were recorded in official logbooks, diaries of prisoners, and also in journals printed by the YMCA and distributed by the Red Cross. Sadly, less than a month later, thousands of these prisoners were dead because of being forced to march on foot in freezing cold weather in order to avoid the liberation of the camps by the approaching Russian army. This tragic event became known as the Long March, but the evacuation was only postponing the inevitable outcome of the war. World War II came to a final end in Europe in May 1945, and the Nazi army and ideology was smashed along with it. And thankfully, the prisoners who survived the war would celebrate their Christmas that year in freedom, in the warmth of their homes, with their families and friends. And that brings us to the end of our featured story. Hello, listeners. Normally, at this time, I would be asking you for your opinions or thoughts about whatever mystery I just told you about. But obviously, this wasn't that kind of a story. The terrible times of World War II are over, and the Nazi camps for prisoners of war were closed long ago. There is no mystery that needs to be solved. Except perhaps the mystery of why the evil philosophy of the Nazi movement seems to be having a rebirth in some people and places in the present day. Well, even though it's putrid and depressing even to think about that, let's instead take the upbeat attitude of the prisoners of 1944. And in this holiday season, remember what Christmas is really all about. Hope and redemption, a brand new start for ourselves as individuals and our world as a whole. And that includes this little podcast. I'd like our fresh start to include your ideas for topics and stories for future episodes. Do you have one? I really want to hear any ideas that you might have. And if you do have any, my email address is whisperedtruestories@gmail.com. But take care to type that as all one word. There are no hyphens, dashes, or underscores. Also, in addition to email, you can also follow and comment on Twitter at the handle @WhisperedTrue. Once again, one word, @WhisperedTrue. Finally, if you like the podcast, including the concept of the podcast, you can help out the show by going to iTunes, also known as Apple Podcasts. podcasts and rate, review, and subscribe. Hopefully, there will be a new episode every 2 weeks. Well, that's my target. Just keep your fingers crossed. And listeners, please stay tuned after the episode to hear about a couple of podcasts that you might want to try. So, with all of that having been said, this episode has now reached the end. So until next time, my name is Kit, and I will leave you now with this thought. Christmas is like candy. It slowly melts in your mouth, sweetening every taste bud and making you wish it could last forever. Merry Christmas, and God bless us, everyone.
True Crime Historian presents classic tales of the scandals, scoundrels, and scourges of the past, told from official documents, the writings of the pioneers of true crime, and newspaper accounts in the golden age of yellow journalism. Whether it's a love triangle turned bad, a heist gone awry, or a fall from grace, they all have one thing in common. Yeah, that's not gonna end well. I'm true crime historian Richard O. Jones, and I give you new stories every Sunday at www.truecrimehistorian.com or your favorite podcast player.
Hi, I'm Caprice, and I'm the host of the Unseen podcast. We look at missing person cases, unresolved crimes, and lesser known stories from around the UK. We delve into cases that do not gain public attention, such as unidentified people and historic cold cases. If you're interested in true crime from the UK, then you might be interested in having a listen to The Unseen. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts.